Back then, what was the job
Oh, it
average?
was probably $800.
Yeah, like
You know,
$800. And then when you brought on siding, what was the average job?
like $8,000. So I mean, it was 10 times. It made a huge difference.
So here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that when you're dealing with a smaller ticket item, you still have all of the marketing, sales, and overhead expenses. Just you're not putting as much gross profit against it. It's really tough to make money. I mean, you guys worked your butts off.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and with me today, I have Tim Brown Jr. from RGS Exteriors. Tim, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Brian. It's an honor and a privilege to be here, and love it.
I have been waiting a long time to interview you, my friend.
Well, in some ways, me too. I'm glad we finally got there.
Just to give you guys all a little bit of background, Tim and I have probably known each other, I'm going to say 12, maybe 13 years now. And we first met when you were probably, what, 30-ish years old?
Yeah, probably.
Late 20s or early 30s. In a family business. It was called Utah Gutters, right? Before
Rain Gutter Specialties, and that's really where
Rain
RGS
Gutter Specialties,
stands for.
right?
Yeah. But yes, Utah Gutters, our website. So yeah, all one and the same.
Right. Tim was always, he's involved in the family business. He's a really smart dude. He's a hell of an implementer, not always implementing the right things, but no shortage of effort. And so why I say that I've been waiting to do this interview is because, I bring people on. I'm very careful about who comes on the podcast. And some people that aren't here that I wouldn't have on the podcast may sound good, but the underlying fundamentals of their business or their life are a mess. And so just because it may sound good, I'm not going to bring them on. Now with Tim, so Tim has worked really hard to grow his business over the years, and we're going to hear his story in just a few minutes. But over the last 2 years, and you've been in the mastermind group now called Success Society for 3 years now?
We're going on our fourth year.
Okay. Yeah. And again, I've known Tim for many, many years. And we had, even before you joined Mastermind, you would come to Accelerate. We had conversations. But in the last 2 years, because the first year was a little shaky in Mastermind, the first 2 years, what you've done with your business has just been incredible. And personally, I was so thrilled to see it because I knew you had it in you and I knew you could do it. But it just goes to show that we are sometimes, as business owners, our own worst enemies, that we quote unquote know what to do, but we don't necessarily do it all the way we should do it. And so you've done an incredible job over the last couple of years. I mean, this year is going to be a huge breakout year for you. And we're not only talking revenue here, we're talking profitability too. And so I will stop now and you give us the quick version. Give us the 2 minute backstory on you and RGS Exteriors and Rain Gutter Specialties. And then we'll dive into some of the, what the business looks like today.
Okay. Love it. I appreciate it. So the real quick version on me is I've been doing this my entire life, literally the only job I've ever had. I started working with my dad when I was 14, maybe back up even a little bit more. Is I'm a fourth generation in this business, in our family business. And I've got four kids. I've got a bonus son right now that's living with us from Grand Turk. So it's kind of cool. So he's not in the company, but the other four have all or do continue to work in the companies that are in college and in school. So they're the fifth generation. So family been in this business for a long, long time, five generations serving Utah. So we do siding, gutters, windows, really everything on the outside of the home. And so that's kind of who we are, what we do. Now, to set the stage, when I met you, I think I met you at a CCN organization back when Charlie brought you in, when you and Addie were just starting G4 Marketing, right? And we were one of your first clients. We were part of it. and loved it. But we were just a small rain gutter company doing a couple million dollars a year. I think we saw the need and the desire to grow and wanted to grow. And so when we have an opportunity to add siding to the mix is really when we're able to grow our top line business. And that was about 10 years ago. And so now we still do about $4 million a year in gutters. So a lot of gutters, but it's a small part of our business. I think just for perspective, so your listeners know, we just finished the books out. So we're doing this here the 1st of January and we finished the books out at 13.4 million. So wow. We've gone from a little rain gutter company to, you know, we're not huge, but 13.4 isn't anything small.
And very, very healthy bottom line. Now, the interesting thing was, so back when you had the rain gutter, it was only rain gutters. It was a couple million dollar business. That business had the same problem that my business had. And that was the ticket value wasn't high enough for you to do all of the things that you knew you needed to do. Marketing, staff that you needed to bring on in order to scale and grow the business. And so by bringing on siding, that was kind of the thing that really changed things, because you went from what was the job average back then? What was the job average?
Oh, it was probably $800.
Yeah, like $800 bucks. And then when you brought on siding, what was the average job?
Like $8,000. So, I mean, it was 10 times.
10 times.
Overnight, right? Yeah. So it made a huge difference.
Yeah. So here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that when you're dealing with a smaller ticket item, you still have all of the marketing, sales, and overhead expenses. Just you're not putting as much gross profit against it. And so it's really tough to make money. I mean, you guys worked your butts off back then and still do, but you were doing it on such slim gross margins. And I think that was part of the issue, was like you were trying to figure out, how do I get more gross margin? But the product wasn't helping you get there. And so you added siding. Just for context, now your job average with siding is about how much?
13. Well, that's everything. That's gutter, siding kind of blended. So, yeah. You know, if you just did siding, you know, I don't know that number off the top of my head. I should, but yeah. I would guess we're over 20 if we just looked at just our siding jobs only.
Okay, good. Now, do you mind if I talk a little crap about the mess that your business was a few years
ago?
No,
I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Let's be open. I'll be happy to be vulnerable, because I think my story is the same as many.
Why don't you tell them instead of my telling them, let's go back 4 years. You tell them the mess.
Here's the thing. We were always a good company. We were always profitable, but there's a definition of profitability, right? And maybe that's what we'll talk about. I think that my dad and I always made a good living, and we paid ourselves okay, but we were never profitable. I was the guy that sat in the conferences and listened to all the guys talk about the top line, and that's all I cared about. If I could do 8 million, oh, if we could do 10 million, all I cared about is that top line number. And I thought, if we could do that, then all of our problems go away. Well, frankly, with the help of the mastermind, maybe we can talk about a minute about how important conferences and masterminds are, because I think that is a huge, huge part of our growth. Setting that aside for just a minute to finish the story, I think that I was stuck and we were getting where we were and we were making wages. Basically, my dad and I were paying ourselves, and that was it. We had a lot of good people. We had a lot of great managers. We had the right team in place, but we were basically making wages. So when we finally did two things, one, we made the decision here, which was probably the biggest thing that I had to do, was we're going to make money. We're not doing this for practice anymore. We're not doing this for fun. That's when we were able to really take it to the next level. I mean, there's a lot of factors in that, and we can get into those. But once we finally made that decision to make money, man, it's life-changing. Our books aren't done yet just because we're right at the beginning of January, but I think it's coming out about a 16% net. So to put that in perspective is, when we were talking 3 years ago, we were probably 8 million range with probably about an 8% net. So we've literally doubled our bottom line, which is what matters. The top line comes naturally. And there were some reasons for that. There were some business practices that I was so stuck on that I wanted to do. Primarily, specifically with me, was like the new construction. I've got these relationships with all these contractors that I've built for years and years and years and years, and I wanted to continue to do that. And didn't want to let that go. And with the help of you and the mastermind and some other great people, basically beat my head against the wall enough to know that that's not a good business model. You can make a good living doing that, but you're not going to make serious money. And the other thing that's so cool is, like, we have our company meeting next week, and I've got an envelope stacked with profit sharing checks that I am stoked to hand out that we've never done. because we made wages. We didn't. Now we made not only money for my dad and I as owners, but our executive team made a handsome bonus. And then every single employee was able to make money also.
Yeah. So let's go back to the new construction thing a little bit, because this was something you and I went back and forth on for a good 2 years. And the problem with it was twofold. One was it was not as profitable as you insisted it was. And we found out that that was the case. And then the second thing was it was almost a distraction because it took up an inordinate amount of your time.
It did two things. Took up time for me, but more than that is it took up stress because anytime a job didn't go right, who did the builder call? They didn't call my managers, they called me. So I was literally constantly getting calls daily. Why isn't this done? What's going on? All that. But then the second thing, to your point, so it was a stress and a headache for me, but it was a distraction because now those jobs take way more time. The new construction jobs take 100 times more time than a remodel job or a replacement job. And so now you're dealing with a homeowner, you set your schedule. When you're doing new construction, they run your schedule. You don't control your schedule as much as you want to. So it's so distracting and it's just, you can't run your business. So what we were doing is two things. One, we weren't making as much money as we thought we were. The second thing, frankly, we were pissing customers off.
Yeah.
The ones that we care about, right? So we're sending them cookies and we're not getting referrals. Well, why? Because we didn't do a good job because they weren't happy. Since we've made this switch, not only is our profitability gone up, but look at our Google reviews. I think we've probably in the last year and a half, probably gone from like 300 Google reviews to almost 700 in 2 years. Well, it's because we have happy customers.
Yeah.
Again, we're doing it right.
And what was happening too was that the disruption of the new construction was impacting your ability to perform with your really good paying customers, your high margin customers. But then also the profits that you are making from the replacement side of your business was all going to feed the other business. But here's the thing though, and here's why I make the same mistakes as everybody else in business. We were talking earlier about how I had a low ticket business. You had a low ticket business. You had a hard time saying no. I have a hard time saying no. These people are putting millions of dollars of contracts in front of you. How the hell do you say no to these big contracts? And so the animal in us that wants to go out and conquer and kill wants the contract. Our ego wants it and demands it. But then, you know, when we're stopped and forced to look at how is this impacting the rest of the business? What is it positively impacting or negatively impacting it? It took a while for us to, I hate to use the word convince you, because you had to get there yourself, but you had me and a bunch of other people telling you, dude, you got to get rid of this damn, you got to get rid of it. And finally, when you were able to let it go in your head, it allowed a lot of other stuff, good stuff to happen.
100%. And I think the biggest thing too is not only was it messing with me, but just going back to my employees, we were burning them out. I mean, I have some really, my executive team are rock stars. I mean, they are the best of the best and we're burning them out because they're burning at both ends of the candle trying to mop up this new construction and stuff. So that was really good to kind of focus on that. But then the other thing that we were able to do, and this goes back to profitability and average job size, was now we can hire a rock star sales team.
Yeah.
You know, we have a good sales process, which that's critical to have. We've always had that. Even when we had gutters, we had a great sales process, but the ticket was so small. So you're only attracting so many level of salespeople because you're selling so much. I mean, no matter how good of a salesman you are, if you're only selling so much gutters, they're limited. Yeah. Well, now you add the siding into it. Now you can get those $2, $3 million sales guys and attract them. Well, then now you can make some real money and they can make some real money. And I think that's one of the biggest things that happened to us in the last 2 years was our sales force probably went from 2 to 10. Now we have 10 guys that are there all day, every day. We have a full-time sales manager now. He's not even selling anymore. If you had asked me that 3 years ago, I would have said, no way. There's no way I'm going to have 10 sales guys.
Yeah.
And so that allowed us to do that and get and focus on the things that matter.
Well, what about your time now in the business? So before all those guys were calling you, you dealt with all the builders, you dealt with the contracts and all of that. Now, what do you do in the business since that's gone?
So two things. One, EOS has helped as well. That's the other thing that we've done in the last 2 years, which again, we got from our masterminds. But so EOS has been a big part. Now I'm just a visionary. The only day-to-day job I have in the business is marketing. So it's the only thing I do is I run the marketing department of the company. And I'm looking for, if I could find someone to replace me, I would do that. It's just hard. That's what I have my degree in. That's what I went to college for. So it's a little hard. But what do? I think to your point is don't get me wrong, I still work every day, but I work when I want, how I want, I do what I want. I literally go into my office. The only time I go to my office and spend any amount of time is when we do our company meeting. So once a month, when the entire company's there, I run that meeting. So I'm there for that. And then if the radio comes, we have some deal where some radio stations come and do their show live from our office. So when the radio comes to our office, I'm there for that. Other than those two things, I don't go to my office. During the month of December, because we didn't do those two things in December, I literally didn't go to my office. I don't know if I went one time in the month of December. So to your point, now what do? I manage my managers and I work on the business and I'm able to do those things and travel and do all the fun stuff, but then get the work done whenever I want to do it.
Are you part of the level 10 meetings every week?
Nope. I don't go to those. So I report the market numbers, but I don't even go to level 10. And part of that is anybody that knows me, they're kind of chuckling because they know how much I talk and how I wreck things. So if I go to the level 10 meetings, instead of being 90 minutes, they're 2 hours or 2.5 hours. So we just made a conscious decision that I stay out, let the executive team do the meetings, and then I do a VI meeting with my integrator, with Kurt, and then we do that later on. And that's just been a world difference for them. Because look, owners, we go back to what you said. We're bulldogs sometimes for no reason. Yeah. Like, we make messes.
But
look,
that's our nature. That's our nature. That's why we need to surround ourselves with the Kurtz of the world, the Justins of the world, the Yannis of the world. I'm talking about the people around me and Tim. And we need to surround ourselves with people that are all about execution. They could stay focused. They clean up messes. They don't like when you come in and make a mess. And so they don't want you there.
They don't. Honestly, I probably walk in and they go, oh, great, Junior's here. What now? Yeah. So it's better that I'm not there. But the other thing, too, is it was really hard because I was such a control freak for so long. And that was one of the things that it took some time. Yeah. It was really hard to let go. But I think, one, you got to hire the right people. And once you do hire the right people, then you got to trust them. Trust them to do their job. And look, are they going to make some mistakes? Yes. And there's some things that I go, oh my gosh, why did you do that? But you have to let them do it because they're never going to learn and grow. And look, my executive team and then my next level managers are all amazing. Like, I love them all. They're my brothers and my family. I love them all and I'm grateful to have them. And certainly they make mistakes, but you got to let them make the mistakes. And then they move, they fix them. And they're not going to make that same mistake again the next time. And then you get to the point where you trust them emphatically. And then frankly, as we continue to grow bottom line, top line, all of the above, I want them to all be extremely successful themselves as well. And for them to be able to do what we're doing. And part of the whole mindset training is like, have the worthy goals or whatever it is. I want to create many millionaires within my company. Another one, a gentleman you've had on your podcast, DJ, I kind of stole that from him, but I want to create millionaires within my organization. And that's how you do that, is by getting those guys like that.
This episode is brought to you by Business Success Consulting Group. Does the way your business currently operates prevent you from scaling and growing? Is the most valuable knowledge in your organization held by just a handful of key personnel? Are you spending valuable time training your teams instead of running your business? Business Success Consulting Group understands the challenges of organizing while you grow, and they specialize in putting order into the chaos of an expanding organization. Adi and her team at BSCG work closely with you and your team to capture vital business knowledge, and then they help you develop, document, optimize, and implement systems and processes across every area of your organization, from sales and operations to marketing, human resources, and business development. Adi and her team have decades of experience and will help you empower your teams to function effectively with reproducible results that will set your business up for continual success and expansion. Schedule your free consultation today by calling or texting 503-662-2911.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my goal too. I want to make millionaires. That's my, you know, my whole reason for being here and reason for coming to work every day is to do the same thing.
Brian, one thing I'd like to say to that, I think that's kind of fun, is because how your mindset changes. Because when we first met 12 years ago, I was probably a $2-3 million company. I never even imagined owning a 10 plus million dollar company, let alone a 20 or 30. So my goal was to make probably 100 grand a year. Like literally back then, that was probably six digits, right? Yeah. Well, then now it's like, I want to be a millionaire. Well, then you've, okay, well, now what? Well, now you want to make other people a millionaire. And how awesome and how impactful is that to go from, I want to make 100 grand till I want to do this. And that's awesome.
Well, and it's also interesting too, because it's not only about, it's not only about the money as the owner, it's also about time. And so when you are like you were, like I am, you know, or I used to be, and how a lot of people listening to this probably are, so wrapped up in the day-to-day of the business, working on things that have zero leverage. You're not developing people like you should. You're not developing processes. You're really not focused on the bottom line because you're just trying to feed yourself, your family, and your people. But when you break out of that and you move up and you realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm here to create a business that works not only for me, but for my team as well. I hate to say, use the word magically, but now all of a sudden, magically, you find yourself in control of your time.
Oh, so, 100%.
So instead of the business controlling and dictating your time, now you control your time. So you want to work from home? You work from home. You want to work from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the rest of the time go and do whatever the hell you want to do? You go and do that. You want to take a week off for the hell of it? Go. You want to come to Accelerate in Orlando for 4 days or bring your family with you for, you know, 4 or 5 days and then come back a month later and go to Success Society meeting in March? You can do that. And it's just, it's such a better way to live.
It is, Brian. Look, this is kind of a saying that I'm going to steal from someone that you know and another mentor of mine, Sean Foyer, but I get to do what I want, when I want, with who I want.
Right.
And when you get to that point, man, that's so impactful. And what you said, so one, I get to go on, my wife and I go on a couple of cruises a year. I'm a big, we'll just say I like to go to Africa and go on safaris every year. And so that's, I go to 2 weeks to Africa every year. Like whatever you want to do, you do. Now, the other thing we haven't even talked about is that I coach high school football and high school wrestling. I have the time to do that. And I've done it for 10 years. It's a passion of mine. I love being a high school football coach, you know, and I have my oldest son is playing in college right now. I have the opportunity to go to his games. I will fly all over the country this fall and I won't miss one of his games. So it's so awesome to be able to do those things, but you still work, but on a differently, you work at a different level. Like one thing that I've taken from you, Brian, to your credit, I love, I don't know if it was Accelerate or one of the other times, but I try to block out an hour every day of just thinking. And one of the things that for me that's worked out really well is I go to the gym and my gym happens to have a sauna and a steam and a hot tub. And so when I get done working out, that's what I do is I go in, I have a podcast on, or I just have my phone just for notes, not to do anything else, but to take notes and make notes. And I sit in the sauna, I'm sitting in the hot tub, sit in the steam, whatever it is. And you're just thinking. It's our job is now to think and to grow and to get better.
But you talked earlier about the decision, and we've talked about a lot of this, and DJ talks about it too, about an event that we were all at. And I said that from the stage.
He called me out.
Well,
you called me.
I didn't name you. I didn't name you. Yeah. But that was the comment I made is that this person, which now we know it was you. So if you go back and listen to any of these Accelerate recording, I think it was like 2019, Accelerate 2019, something like that. DJ is in the audience and he hears me say that. And he goes, damn it. And he was a guy that had a $20 million business at that.
Right. Right.
And he realized that, damn it, he's also talking to me. I haven't made the decision yet to be profitable. So what does it mean? What does it mean to you to make the decision now to be profitable? What did that look like?
So I think for me, it was no more excuses. Today, we were on a call earlier with one of our masterminds. And there was a gentleman talking and I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, this was me 5 years ago. Yeah. He was explaining something that was really awesome for him and it's going to be really good. But he kept having all these justifications. Well, but in fact, that was one thing he used to say to me. Well, I used to be the well, but guy all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think you truly can make money when you're well, but you got to get that out of your vocabulary. It doesn't matter. Like there's no excuses. This is what it is. And you make it happen. And I think once you get to that point, man, this life is so much better. And now we focus on what is going to make us money. and what is going to make the livelihood of all of our employees better. Because let's be honest, you don't want to make money just for you, but you also want to make it for your team, your employees, to share or do whatever you want to, do with the wealth or the money is to help other people. And when you can do that, it's a whole other level. That's what life's all about.
But it's also about, and I've talked about this a lot too, is it's also a lot about, like, on the airplane. So if there's a loss in cabin pressure, what happens? The masks are going to drop. What do they tell us? Put the mask on yourself first, and then, only then, can you help somebody else. So because—
And I never did that.
No, and I mean, it took me a while to learn that too.
One thing I think that and I wanted to kind of bring this up today because I think it's so part of my journey, is you hear all these things all the time and you know that, but how do you make it and do it, and how do you execute it? Let me back up a little part of my story too. I've been a member of CCN, or Certified Contractors Network, since 2005. So for a long, long, long time. DCN has absolutely been a huge part of my business, and I would not be where I am without Richard Kaler and Scott Siegel and running, and Gail. Can't forget about Gail now. But like what they've done to keep the organization going and doing what they're doing, and then, you know, now with Martin Delft going, helping with Scott, those things have been invaluable for me. However, it only gets you so far. Now, going back to, I go to conferences, I do these things, I've got good systems, I'm learning it. Well, then I go to your mastermind. Well, now I'm sitting in a mastermind, a guy that knows what I need to do, but doesn't do it. Now I have a group of peers sitting in a circle and calling me out. I mean, look, there was days where I wasn't in tears, but I mean, it was close. Like, I got called out on the table to the point where after my hot seat was over, I'd have guys come over to me and, "I'm so sorry, man, we were a little harsh. I'm so sorry." But look, one, I needed to have that happen. I needed you and the guys in the group to call me out. But what this mastermind did that I wasn't doing is it got me to think differently. And I had peers calling me out, holding me accountable. So not only in the hot seat, and I know I got to fix this, because in 3 months when we meet again, if I don't have my crap fixed, they're gonna get frustrated. And actually, John O'Leary, another one of your great guys, told me flat out, he said, "Tim, the first year you're in a mastermind, I got so frustrated, I didn't even pay attention to you, because you would say all these problems, we would tell you how to fix it, and you would do nothing." And he said, gave me one of the best compliments he could have ever given me at the last mastermind. He said, "Tim, you know, I love it now because I'm seeing growth in you, and you've changed. You're taking these things and you're learning them." And I think that's what the mastermind does, is whatever it is, CCN for me, whatever it is anybody's doing, is going to get you to so many levels, and continue to do it. But going to a mastermind and being with a group of people that you can love and trust and hold you accountable and call you out on your BS is going to get you there. And that's what I needed. Yeah. I needed Brian and the team with our mastermind to just call me out and to finally go, "What am I doing?"
Yeah. Well, you've heard, I open Accelerate, especially the last couple, 3 years, with, we're all about tough love. It only comes from a place of love and respect, but we're not going to dance around and not tell you hard truths. And it's not,
it does no good.
To,
it doesn't
it's
help.
Not always easy to hear, but to your credit, yeah, you frustrated the hell out of everybody, me included. But something happened between year one and year two where you started to realize, wait a minute, I think these people really are coming from a place of, they really want to see me succeed. They really want to help me grow. And when you have that, it is a beautiful thing to be surrounded by people that aren't afraid to call you out, because they're going to be there. They're not just going to come in and punch you in the nose and say, you know, go take care of yourself. No, they might punch you in the nose, but they're going to give you a hug and say, "Hey, you needed that, man, but I'm here for you, whatever you need." And it's, you know, and you took it. I mean, you took it like nobody else. But you said something early, you used the word learning, the things we're learning. And you're a learner. You learned and learned and learned and learned and learned and learned and kept learning and kept learning. But then what you decided to do was do.
Yes, and I was a learner, not a doer. That's
exactly.
Good.
It was all, it becomes all about execution. Charlie and I talk about this all the time. It's about implementation. It's about execution. Me and John Anglis talk about this too, is it's like, here's what to do. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to ignore it? Or are you going to actually go do something with it? Are you going to actually implement it? And the implementers will win every time.
100%. And I lacked that. I think two things that I lacked. One, I wasn't implementing A. And B, I don't ever feel like I was a prideful or an arrogant individual. But I think once you start really humbling yourself and go, look, I'm not the smartest guy in this room. And you realize that he knows something and she knows something and they know something. Listen and learn and take their advice. Wow, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing that I think that is really important to do is, so we've talked about the masterminds, but the other part of my big growth is I'm a big conference guy. I will go to everything and everything I can. You name it, I've been there. And I love it. To me, part of it's that I'm grateful that my business allows me to do that, because that's truly my favorite part of the business. I'm a people person. I like to network. I like to talk. Like to go to the bar and have a Pepsi when you guys are drinking and just hang out. I mean, I love that part of it. But going to conferences, Accelerate specifically, it's the next one coming up. You've got to go and you've got to be there, and you go and you go and you go. And then some people say, well, man, I look at the speaker list and it's the same speaker list as the last year or maybe the year before. Well, two things I'm going to say, well, so what? Second thing is your mindset is different today than it was last year. Let's say you or Megan or whoever, or John Angeles or Scott Berman, whoever it is that's going to speak, could literally give, or Charlie Gendel, to give the exact same presentation today as they did last year. Same slide, same presentation, and you are going to get something completely different out of it because your mindset is different. You're going to hear different things, and it's so important. It's just like scriptures are important to me. Why do you read the Bible or in my case, the Book of Mormon? Like, why do you read those two things over and over again? It's the same words. You've read them 10,000 times. Why? Because your mind's different and you're going to get something different today than you did last time.
Right.
If you continue to go to Accelerate and these other meetings and other conferences and do it and go and go and go, then you're going to learn. Then you go back, and then once you can start to implement it, and once you become it, that's when things change. And I think that's why for us, that's what's happened. That's been the transformation, is really it's starting way back in 2005, joining CCN, to going and getting in masterminds and going to conferences. And then now I really work on my mind with Sean and others like that. I think when you can kind of go on those journeys, man, it's so powerful. Yeah. And then life is fun. Again, it's not stressful. I mean, look, we all have stresses, but I don't lay at night and stress about how I'm going to pay this bill anymore. It's different things and it's fun.
Yeah. And that's how it's supposed to be. And it's all about, you know, that's what we talk about here, is think about the life that you want. Think about what it's going to cost you. And then how do we build a business that's going to deliver to you the money that you need and the time that you need and the freedom that you need in order for you to live that life? And, you know, a lot of times people will hear that and say, well, that sounds very far-fetched. That sounds like, oh, you're talking airy-fairy, you know, stuff. I'm not lucky enough for that to happen. What would your comment be to...
That was me. Everything you just said was me. You always, a lot of times you've done it accelerated in our masterminds, the four number exercise or whatever you want to call it. When you sit and think about what do you really want? Well, I can tell you right now, today, and that filling that out today is going to be completely different than it was even 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm in a good way, but you have to, one, know that it's possible and do it. Quit making excuses, quit letting other things get in your way and make it happen. Because once you do that, it just changes everything. And now what I think about and what I worry about a business is ways to make it bigger, faster, better, as opposed to payroll, sales, production, whatever it is that we get stuck in that minutia of the business. That's not even something you think or worry about anymore. I don't know if that answers that question or not, but that's kind of how I
listen. I think for the listener, you know, one of the things that I hope to do here is inspire people to take that, whatever that next step is, or that whatever that leap of faith is, and listening to your story and some of what you've gone through. It wasn't easy for you. It wasn't easy for me. For some people, it's easy. You know, you listen to some of these, oh yeah, I'm doing, you know, $30 million a year, and I just bought a private jet, and I this and I that. That's not most of us. You know, for most of us, it's damn hard to make $1 million a year, or whatever your number is, $500,000 a year, or whatever it is, to live where you want to live, to just be able to take a few weeks off a year. It's hard for most people, but I think you've done a really good job of talking about your journey and what you've gone through. And I really appreciate you being so open and candid. And I'll say to anybody that if you see Tim in the hallways, and this is going to go out after Accelerate, but if you join our new Success Society, which Tim is a member of, or you see Tim at another conference somewhere else, go up to him. He's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And now he'll have great advice for you.
Yes, it did. Well, look, Brian, you and I have talked about doing this a long time. Like, part of it's kind of my goals is to do these kind of podcasts. I love them because I feel like there's some things that I can help others because I've gone through those journeys. But I also think there's got to be some credibility. And look, I didn't feel, frankly, if you had asked me 2 years ago, I probably would have turned you down, even though I wanted to do it.
Yeah,
because I don't feel like I was right. I wasn't ready. We weren't there. And I think that to kind of close up, and I think a really important thing is I was the guy that sat and listened to the guys on the stage. And I'm not talking about Accelerate, but other events. And they sit and talk about how they do 100 million or 50 million. But what is their bottom line?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, a guy doing 5 million with the 20% net is making a whole lot more money than the guy at 30 million or 1%. Well, and I think it's a lot of it's fake and it's fluff and it's not real. And so I think talk to the guys that are real and learn and grow. And that's where the growth comes. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, and also with that is, it's like, you don't need to grow a $50 million business. And how does that relate to me? I'm doing 3 million a year. I'm doing 7 million a year, whatever, you know, 13 million a year. How does that relate back to me? How is you boasting about you building this big ass business going to help me? But anyway, point taken, very well said. I appreciate you being here. I'm excited to see where the next couple of years takes you. I'm just thrilled with your success and your wealth and your freedom. And thank you. Thanks for being
here. Well, thank you. Thank you. And just like a last plug, man, just get involved in Masterminds, Success Society, whatever it is, do it. It's going to change your life and you will never, ever regret it. And the only thing you can't get back is time. So don't procrastinate it. Don't put it off anymore. Do it. Come, go, be involved, and you will not regret it.
Love it. All right, everybody. Well, until next time. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.